begin the current daf mesach, this even daf tzadi dal. We begin on the bottom of tzadi gimel amid beis, three lines up in the bottom of the amid. But the Gemara begins a discussion about a machlekes between Rav and Shmuel that will be based on two opposing opinions that they have in the machlekes. And that's brought in over here because it's related to the previous discussion of the Gemara that we ended off on the previous daf that spoke about the concept of kibin shehutra hutra. And that is regarding something that was permitted in the beginning of Shabbos, when Shabbos started, then something happened in middle of Shabbos that caused this heter, this permissibility, whether it be an Erev or whether it be a mechitza, to then crumble on Shabbos. Halacha is now that it's breached, what would we say now? That is a machlekes, and that is where our Gemara begins. Itmar we learned. Regarding a wall that's between two different courtyards that did not have an opening between them, and they did not join together in the Erev, they each had their separate chatzar that they were carrying in their chatzar, and they were separated by this wall. Shenafel, that it fell down on Shabbos. So we have a machlekes. Rav Amarav says, one is only allowed to carry, now that it's been breached, to the other chatzar that it's usher to, you can only carry in your chatzar up to four amas. And that's because Rav does not hold to the concept that was mentioned again in the previous daf of hoyel v'hutra hutra. Although when Shabbos started, up until the wall crumbled, it was permitted to carry in your own chatzar because it was separated. However, now that it's open to the other chatzar, which you did not join together in the Erev, now it's going to be forbidden in spite of the fact that it was hutra from the beginning of Shabbos. Now there's another element, which is another machlokes that will be related to this case, is that, so again, so you're right, so you're not going to consider it the heter that it was its own chatzar, because now, ultimately, it's breached to the other one. But however, why would we not consider it to be one big chatzar? Where there the halacha is, that we know that a chatzar that had no Erev made for it, everyone agrees you're allowed to carry in it the vessels that had started Shabbos in the chatzar itself. And therefore, we consider it one rishus. So here also, where the wall came down, at least we should be able to carry the vessels that started off Shabbos in the chatzar, because now we view this as one big chatzar. And that Rashi tells us, however, over here, it's not one big chatzar, it's not one big rishus. Rather, there are two different rishuyas that are forbidden one with the other. And therefore, it's as if you have one rishus that's paritz, b'miluya, that totally breached to a place that's forbidden for it. Now, why is that? Even if you're not going to consider it one big chatzar, because essentially there are two separate chatzars that are now breached to each other, so you can't say that the vessel that start off in the chatzar should be permitted to the bigger chatzar, which it is right now. However, we know that chatzeros, even more than one chatzar, are considered one rishus that you could carry from one chatzar to another. However, here, where each chatzar made their own air for themselves, and they were permitted to use it like that because they had the wall separating, Rav goes l'shitase, the way he says that halacha falls like Reb Shimon, that is only permitted if shaloi irvu. This that you're allowed to carry from one chatzar to another, to all the chatzeros in the city, are only if each individual chatzar did not make their own erev. However, if they did make their own erev, which is the case that we're talking about over here, then Rav had told us in the previous daf that then we consider it as two separate yeshuyas, and as it had been explained previously, because now that you could carry the vessels, the kalim, from your house to your chatzar, we're concerned that you might take those vessels into another chatzar, which is forbidden, because the vessels from your home is not the same as that chatzar. It's the same with your chatzar, and your chatzar is the same with that chatzar, but it's not the same for your house vessels to that chatzar. And therefore, Rav says that she'irvu, when you made your own erev in your own chatzar, which is the case over here, and now the wall crumbled, now this is another chatzar, it's parts lamakam ha'asrla, it's breached to a place that's forbidden for it. The reason being is because once you made your own erev, you're now allowed to go ahead and carry to another chatzar. So therefore, there's two components over here in the opinion of Rav, why you're only allowed to carry in Dalet Amos. One is, although it was permitted from the beginning of Shabbos, he does not say hol b'hutra hutra. The second component is that he also holds that although now at least you should be able to carry the kalim of the chatzar to another chatzar, although that they're open to each other, however, he says not, because here the case is talking about she'irvu, that each chatzar made their own erev, and therefore you're not allowed to carry into another chatzar, even though generally they consider rishos achas, but that's not the case when you made your own erev in your own chatzar. That's Rav's opinion. Shmuel Amar Shmuel says, and we continue on top of Tzadid Amen Aleph, where he argues on both points of Rav. And he says that Zeh Metaltalat Iker Mechitza, those from this chatzar could carry up until the wall, where at least the wall was, or where it crumbled down to. The Zeh Metaltalat Iker Mechitza, and the other people from the other chatzar could carry up until the wall, as it was before the wall crumbled. And that's because he does say, Hayel B'Hutra Hutra. He says, since when Shabbos started, we viewed them as separate permitted areas to carry in their own chatzar. Therefore, even if it fell on Shabbos, we continue to view it as such. Now, the second component is that Shmuel is even talking about the vessels of the house that one is permitted to carry in his chatzar right now. And the reason is because if we were talking about the vessels that had started of Shabbos in the chatzar, then even from one chatzar to another, Shmuel would permit one to go ahead and carry. Here that he's telling you could carry up until the wall must be saying even for the vessels of the house. And that is because Shmuel says that the halacha is like Reb Shimon even when each chatzar made their own eir for themselves. That's because he does not say the gzeir like Rav does, that we're concerned about that the vessels from the house, now that you made an eir with your own chatzar, you can take out to the chatzar and you might come to carry to another chatzar. And therefore, even though it will be here, now ultimately it's like really like one big chatzar now because the wall had fell down, we're not going to say that it's usher for those in the vessels in the house because it's permitted for them to take out the vessels from the house to the chatzar, and that's based on the principle that we said before of hoyo b'hutra hutra. Since it's permitted in the beginning of Shabbos, we continue to view this chatzar as a permitted area. So you're allowed to take out the vessels from the house to the chatzar, again, based on these two ideas that A, he holds hoyo b'hutra hutra, and then obviously he's talking about those vessels, not the vessel of the chatzar, because if that was the case, he would even tell you it's permitted to take it to the other chatzar, because his opinion, Reb Shimon, is that we don't make a gzeira of mani de batim, even when it's a case of she'irv. So now the Gemara explains that regarding this machlokes of Rav and Shmuel, v'hod the Rav, this that we found, and we had just explained the opinion of Rav, that he does not hold the v'hoyel v'hutra hutra, that he doesn't say that since it was permitted in the beginning of Shabbos, now that the wall crumbled, it should still be permitted. To the contrary, he says that it's us now. Lav b'feir shitmer, it's not explicitly that he said this. El machlokes may was inferred from a certain incident that we can tell that he held that way. As the Gemara says, the Rav and Shmuel have a yasri b'ahu chatzar. Rav and Shmuel was sitting in a certain courtyard. Nafal gud de beni beni, so the wall that was separating the courtyard fell down. Amalu Shmuel, so Shmuel said to the people, Shkulu glima, go ahead and take a cloak, and the giduba, go ahead and hang it over there to be like the mechitza that's separating. So the mechitza fell down, put up a cloak. So Hadrin Rav lape, Rav turned his face, and that's because he held that you're not allowed to carry this cloak over here in this courtyard anymore because the wall came down, there's no more mechitza, and now it's not a full-fledged heter of a chatzar, so you can't even carry it to go ahead and put up and make it a mechitza to separate. So Amar Shmuel said to them, and because he saw the way Rav had reacted, he says, Ikapet Abba, if Abba, which is a reference honorific to Rav, if he's very particular, if he doesn't like what I said, Shkuluhem Yonne Bekatrebe, let him take his gartel, let him take his belt, and go ahead and tie the cloak to the wall, so to speak, like to make it better. But he was trying to say that, yeah, you can go ahead and put it up because it's still kosher anyway. So he's just going to put it up as like a sign of a separation. But in essence, it's kosher, and that's why he had no problem about carrying over there because hayal b'hutra hutra. But Rav didn't like it. No, the wall came down. You can't carry anything. You can't even pick up this cloak to put it there. But then the Gemara asks, Ulishmol lamaliha, why did he even have to take the cloak to put it up there? Ha'amar zemetaltla ikka mechitza v'zemetaltla ikka mechitza. He said, as we just quoted, that even with the wall down, you let it carry up until where the wall was up until now. So why do you have to go ahead and put up this gleam of this cloak to make like a mechitza? You don't have to put up anything. I think Gemara says you're right, but Shmuel loved it. Let's neusa be'amam. Shmuel did this to say to put up the cloak just as a way of modesty to enclose the area, which a courtyard you want to do private things. That's why. But medine halachas a mechitza, it wasn't necessary. But then the Gemara asks, Rav, according to Rav, if he held that it's forbidden, you're not allowed to carry. So lamele, he should have told him. What do you mean this is forbidden? How was he just quiet? And the Gemara says, Asr de Shmuel, it was the place, it was from the township of Shmuel where he was the Morda Asr, and he gets to Paskin over there, not Rav. But then the Gemara asks, Ihachi my time adrin lape, so why did he turn his face? In other words, why being passive about it? Passive, but at the same time showing your displeasure, either say it or don't say it. Why are you just turning your face? But the Gemara says, no, delay name Rikish Shmuel severely. That people should not say, oh, Rav didn't react. Obviously, Hozik Shmuel, and Bahad be Mishmaita, and he retracted from his teaching that he held that you don't say Hoyle Hutra Hutra. That's why he couldn't say, because he's not the Mayor Rav, but he had to show his displeasure to show that, no, I do not agree to that Psak Halacha, and that's why he turned his face. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, along the same similar theme of the previous Mishnah regarding when an area of Chatzar is breached to another area. So the Mishnah begins. Chatzar shenifritza l'rishus harav, regarding a courtyard that has been breached to the public domain, either in its totality, or at least if it's more than 10 amos, which considers it a breach, not a Pesach, not an opening anymore. So then we have a machlekes. Regarding hamachnas mitoichel l'rishus hayachad, someone that transports something from this breached Chatzar that's open to the rishus harav to a private domain, or from Rishus HaYachid into that chatzar. So we have a machlekes. So the first opinion is chayiv, that he's liable because we consider this chatzar that's totally breached to the Rishus HaRam as a Rishus HaRam, which the Gemara is going to wonder why if it's breached to Rishus HaRam, do we actually give it the status of Rishus HaRam? What is exactly the case that we're talking about? But Divrei Rabbi Elazar, that's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. He says it's breached to Rishus HaRam, it's as if it's a Rishus HaRam. You're carrying from Rishus HaRam to Rishus HaYachid, you're going to be chayiv. V'chamayim, say no. If someone's carrying either from this area that's breached to Rishas Rabim, whether to Rishas Rabim or to Rishas Yachid, he's going to be exempt. Now, the terminology exempt means you're not going to be chayv on a deraisa level, you're not chayv for a chattas, but it's not mutar l'ketchila either. And that's even within four amis, because although it's not a Rishas Rabim, however, he could karmelis, because we view it as a karmelis and not as a Rishas Rabim. And therefore, you're going to be putter, because it's not a biblical domain, it's only rabbinic. However, midrabanan, it's going to be us to transport from there to Rosh Hashanah or to Rosh Hashanah, because it's a Carmelis, but again, it's not Rosh Hashanah to be chayav achatas, where you have to transport it from there to Rosh Hashanah. So now the Gemara asks, so again, we have this machlekes regarding this chatzah that's nifritz l'Rosh Hashanah. Do we view it as a Carmelis, as a chacham said, or like Rabbi Eliezer, as a Rosh Hashanah? So the Gemara asks, Rebbe Elazar, Mishum the Nifritz of Rishas Rabim, Havel or Rishas Rabim? According to Rebbe Elazar, because it's just breached to Rishas Rabim, we already give it as if it has the status of Rishas Rabim, that Midarais you'd be chayif in transporting it from there, from a chatzar to Rishas Yachin. And the Gemara says, yes, in Rebbe Elazar al-Tamei, he goes according to his opinion, which is mentioned elsewhere. The Tanakh in the Braisa, Behuda Oimim Mishum Rebbe Elazar, he said the name of Rebbe Elazar, Rabim Shebeiru Derech La'atzman, regarding the public that chose a path for themselves, going through somebody's field, mashabiru beru, what they have chosen, and the person, although he owns this field and people have just made a path out of it, he can't go ahead and fence it off, because this is what the public has chosen. So obviously you see that the public, when they decide to use this is becoming the public path, they acquire it. And therefore our mission is going to be the same way, that because this chatzar is breached to the Rosh Hashanah, now people are going to be walking through it, and therefore they are kind it, they make it as if it's a Rosh Hashanah, mashabiru beru. So therefore you see that yes, we give it a status of Rosh Hashanah. But then the Gemara says, Ini, is that really so? Are you telling me that the public could just choose wherever they want to, and that's going to be the case of our Mishnah, that now they're walking there, so it becomes Rosh Hashanah? But for Omar, Rav Gidl Omar Rav. Rav Gidl Omar Rav, he explained this halacha. It doesn't mean that the public could just choose any path and make it into Rosh Hashanah. It meant, it means that they had lost a path that was originally there in the field. They had a right of way. Now they don't know if it's in the north or in the south. So then they decide to choose one of the ways. But obviously you can't just steal a path in somebody's field. It means there was always a public path. Now we don't remember. And that we say that ultimately we have some right of way here. We're going to choose, and wherever we choose becomes a Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, what does that have to do with our Mishnah, where this guy owns his own chatzar, and because it's breached, that has nothing to do with you, Rosh Hashanah. How could it become Rosh Hashanah, even if you're walking in here? And that the Gemara says, and if you're going to say that you're right, the case of our Mishnah is the same type of idea, which is that the actual area of the wall, which is breached now to the Rosh Hashanah, is not recognizable where the wall actually was. And it's being disputed between the people of the public and the homeowner that owns the chatzar. And the people of Rosh Hashanah are deepening the area of Rosh Hashanah into it a little bit. And they say, wait a second, the public domain used to go up till here. And he says, no, my wall used to go over here. And that is what Rebbe Elazar says, that this dispute will go in the favor of the people of the public, and it's going to be considered Rosh Hashanah, which is that the actual place of where the wall is, what he's saying, where there's disputed, that is what he says, it's going to be considered a Rosh Hashanah. Similar to the concept that was mentioned elsewhere in his name, that where the public decides to choose, and it's a dispute where it is, the public gets the right of way, and therefore the same thing over here, where we don't know where the actual wall, it's not talking about the whole chatzar becomes Rosh Hashanah. It means the actual area of dispute, where Rosh Hashanah ends and the chatzar starts, that we say becomes the public domain, which would be similar to the halacha he said before. So the Gemara says, if that's what you're trying to say it is, but V'omer Reb Chanina said an explanation of our Mishnah regarding this machloikis. Again, if we consider this chatzar that's nifritz Rosh Hashanah as a Rosh Hashanah or as a karmelis, he says that ad mokim mechitza machloikis, that the machloikis between the Chacham and Reb Eliezer was up until the area of the wall, which is mashma. The inference is that their machloikis was regarding the entire courtyard until the place of the walls. And that is what the Chacham had made the area as a karmelis. But that is in the actual area of the wall was, that the Chacham would agree that it would have a status of a Rosh Hashanah. So the inference is that when Reb Eliezer is saying it is Rosh Hashanah, it means the whole entire chatzar, where that is what they're arguing on the Chacham, who say it's a karmelis. So how could we say that the dispute is regarding the actual wall area of the wall, where we find Reb Chanina said that no, there everyone agrees it's Rosh Hashanah. Even the Chacham, their dispute was only until the area of the wall. That is, Chacham say it's karmelis, and Reb Eliezer says it's going to be considered Rosh Hashanah, which is, therefore the question is, why, if it's breached, do we view it as a Rosh Hashanah? We wanted to say it doesn't mean the whole chatzar, it means that area, but Reb Chanina explicitly, when he explains the Mishnah, says it's up until that area of the wall. And that, l'chayra, should not be rishus harabim because it's breached. And I think Mora gives two answers. First of all, Ema, we could say that regarding the statement of Reb Chanina, it wasn't ad makam mechitza machlekes, it was al makam mechitza machlekes. On that area of the mechitza is where the machlekes was, again, based on this halacha of Rabim Shabiru, that the public, that when there is a dispute, they chose that this is the right of way that we have, they get the right of way, and that is why we give it a status of rishus harabim. The second approach the Gemara goes with is not like the Gemara had assumed up until now. We could even be saying that the area of the walls are recognizable. There's no dispute related to the halacha of Rabbi Shabiru. Yet in spite of that, Rabbi Eliezer will consider the Makam Mechitza as Rishus Rab. Why is that? Because B'tzidi Rishus Rab, commifically, their dispute in the Mishnah is regarding the halacha of what's called the sides of the public domain. He considers the sides of Rishus Harabim as if it has the same halacha as Rishus Harabim, and therefore the makam ha-mechitza, which is the side of Rishus Harabim, will be considered, now that it's breached, will be considered an area of Rishus Harabim. Rabban Sarvi, tzid Rishus Harabim, lam k'Rishus Harabim dami. They consider the area of the side of the Rishus Harabim, which is not the actual Rishus Harabim, does not have the same status as Rishus Harabim, and therefore rather has a status of a karmelis. That the Gemara asks, the liflik b'tzidi rishus harabim b'yamo, if that is what they're arguing about, so why do you have to say this whole case about Mishnah that we're talking about a chatzar that's nifritz, a breach to the rishus harabim? Just say, regarding a regular tzidi rishus harabim, we have a machlaikis. Is it rishus harabim or is it like a karmelis? Why do you have to create this new case? Now, e iflik b'tzidi rishus harabim b'yamo, so the Gemara says, no. Had we said it just in the classic case of what's called tzidi rishus harabim, the size of rishus harabim, we would have said, ki plig rabban led Reb Eliezer. When do the Chacham argue in Reb Eliezer? That they consider it not like a Rishus Harabim, rather like a Karmelis. I would say that's when the sides of Rishus Harabim have obstructions. And that is generally the sides of Rishus Harabim have what's called these chifufe, that they put these pegs and these large stones near the wall because all the wagons and all the traffic, they don't want to go ahead and ruin the buildings that are on the side. So they put these obstructions. Now the airspace that's between these obstructions and the wall of these properties, that's what's called tzidi Rishus Harabim on the sides of Rishus Harabim. Now, I would have thought to say that in such a case, that's what the Rabbanah argue, and they say, hey, that's not Rishus Harabim, and because there's a block between the Rishus Harabim and these Tzidi Rishus Harabim, and therefore, and then you're not allowed to carry from it into the Rishus Harabim because there's this separation where the public doesn't go straight in there, again, because you have these obstructions. Aval Heicha Deleke Chifufi, but where there is no obstructions, which is the case over here, where the Chatzar is Nifritz, it's totally breached the Rishus Harabim. Eimim Oidilei, then I would have thought to say that they would agree to Reb Eliezer, that even though it's the Tzidi Rishus Harabim, but since there's no obstruction, they're going to come right in, and they will have a status of Rishus Harabim. Kamash Molan, that's why we had to say this case of Chatzar Shenifritz, even where there's no Chifufi, still the Rabban argue, and they do not consider Tzidi Rishus Harabim k'Rishus Harabim, rather like a Kamas. Now the Gemara asks, on both interpretations of our Mishnah, whether it be based on the logic of Rabban Shabiru, or whether it be based on the logic of Tzidi Rishus Harabim, either way, both interpretations are saying that the Machlokes is only in the Makam HaMechitza, but rather the rest of the Mechitza, the rest of the Chatzah, just because it's breached, will not make it Rishus Harabim, it'll be a Karmelis. And that the Gemara asks, but if you read the literal translation of our Mishnah, it says, from within the area of the Chatzah to the Rishus HaYachid, that is where Reb Eliezer says you're going to be chayiv. So obviously we're talking about the entire chatzar, that he gives it a status of Rishus Harabim, and not just in the makam ha-mechitza, in the place of where the wall is, again, either because of this was the disputed area or because it's tzid Rishus Harabim. So how could we resolve that with the actual terminology of the Mishnah, which says from within? Another Gemara says, you're right, it really wasn't from within. It's really just the actual area of the wall which was being debated, which is a machlekes, not a Mishnah. But Aidi the Amri Rabbanan Mitaycha, since the ones who disputed Reb Eliezer, the Rabbanan, they used the terminology of from within. So Amri Yunam Mitaycha, he also said the terminology from within, but really he holds that the area within is a Karmelis, and this that he's saying Rishus Harabim is only the Makam HaMechitza. But then the Gemara asks, but Rabbanan, we're going to ask now, why did they use the terminology Mitaycha? But it's even a bigger question, because who went first? Who stated his opinion first? It was Reb Eliezer. So the Gemara's question is, Amar Reb Eliezer tzidi Rishus Harabim, as we just explained, that according to both interpretations, but especially according to the second one, what did Reb Eliezer say? What was his claim is Rishus Harabim? The size of Rishus Harabim. That is because he agrees that the inside of the Chatzar is a Karmelis, and it's only the Makam HaMechitza, the actual area of where the wall space was, that's what he considers Rishus Harabim. And then they respond to him, hey, the inside is a Karmelis? What do you mean? He agrees the inside's a kamelis. He's only talking about the machkam and machitza. We said he said the word mitecha because they say mitecha. But why are they saying mitecha? What are they arguing on? He also agrees the inside is a kamelis. And that the Gemara says you're right. That the machloek is really is only in the area of the machkam and machitzas if it's considered a kamelis or a shasarab. But hachi kamerli rabban Rabbi Yaza. This is what the rabbanu were telling Rabbi Yaza. Mila kamaydis lon hecha de tilta mitecha le shasarab. Don't you agree that if war one to take from the inside, mitaycha, from the inside of this chatzah to Rosh Hashanah, or from Rosh Hashanah inside of here, he'd be potter. Now, why is that? Nishi karmelis, because it's considered like a karmelis, and you agree to that, as we just said. Satidi nami loishna, the size also should not be any different. That's part of the chatzah, and therefore it should be potter, it should be considered as a karmelis. And this is where he argues on them. And therefore, the word mitecha was only being used as a way of a raya, of a proof, to say, hey, if you agree by mitecha, agree by the edge also, because they're all part of the same chatzah. And that, Rabbi Eliezer says, no. Hasam over there by the actual chatzah in the inside, l'kadosh l'rabim. There the public is not stepping in over there. Therefore, that's why we consider a kamelis, not a rishas l'rabim. But hacha, but here on the sides, which is by the makam ha-machitza, kadarsi l'rabim, there the public, they end up walking in over there. And therefore, that's why it gets the status of rishas l'rabim, like old tzidei rishas l'rabim. Now the Gemara continues with the next mission. Again, talking about a chatzah that's breached to rishas l'rabim, but it's a slightly different case. The Mishnah begins, chatzah shenifritz, regarding a courtyard that was breached on Shabbos, l'rishas l'rabim mishtei ruchisah. It was breached to the public domain on two sides. Similarly, v'chein bayis shenifritz mishtei ruchisah, so to a house that's breached from two sides. V'chein mavoi shenitle kareisav or l'chayev, or a similar type of halacha where, again, we're talking about permitted areas that were breached and they were not, the heter was then taken away on Shabbos. And for example, like when you have a mavoi, an alleyway where it's permitted on the fourth side with a kair, with a crossbeam or a lechi, a side post, where they were taken down on Shabbos. So the halacha is, and we have a machlekes, mutarim ba'isa Shabbos. It's still permitted for that Shabbos, again, based on the principle which we had mentioned before of hoyel v'hutra hutra, since it started off Shabbos, and the beginning of Shabbos is what characterizes this area for the whole Shabbos, that is, since it's permitted, it stays permitted. However, asum lasulavi, but it will be forbidden for the future, that it's for the coming Shabbos, where there when it's starting off Shabbos without the lechi and the kari, or without its two walls, then it's going to be us. Divi Rabbi Yehuda, that's opinion Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda responds, a little enigmatic, he says, wait. If it's permitted for that Shabbos, then mutar and lasalav, and that should be permitted for the future too. The masur and lasalav, and if it is forbidden for the future, then masur and lasalav Shabbos, then should be forbidden for that Shabbos also. In other words, what are you differentiating? It shouldn't make a difference. Is it considered separated? Then it should always be considered separate. If it's not, then even for today. And the Gemara will explain that Rabbi is really being stringent. And he's basically saying, just like obviously it's forbidden for the future, because there's no wall, there's no lechet, there's no kairit, and Shabbos is not going to work like that. So too, it's forbidden today. It comes down. It's not a permitted area anymore, even if in the middle of Shabbos. So now the Gemara explains the cases of our Mishnah. Regarding these areas, specifically the first case of this chatzah, this courtyard that's breached on both sides of Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara asks, "B'maya skinan, what exactly are we talking about that we have to say it's talking about that it was breached on two sides? Elam be'esa, if we're talking about a breach that's 10 amas, and that's why it couldn't be talking about that it's breached just on one side, because then we're going to say, hey, that's a Pesach, that's an opening. You're allowed to have an opening to Rosh Hashanah, you don't have to be closed off totally. And therefore, on one side, that wouldn't be a problem, it would still be considered a kosher chatzah. But then, maishna miruach achas. So then why is one side different? Da'amrin and pisklahu, because we'll say that it's an opening to Rosh Hashanah. Mishtei ruchais, nami pisklahu, and even on two sides, also it's a Pesach. And that is, right now the Gemara assumes that when it says mishtei ruchais from two sides, it meant one opposite the other. For example, one's on the east and one's on the west. So therefore then the problem is, if the breach is not more than 10 amas, it's a Pesach on both sides. So why do we consider it not a kosher chatzah? So then what do we have to talk about? That obviously the breach that it's open to the Rosh Hashanah is more than 10 amas. And then ihachi afilu merachas achas nami. Then if it's on one side, also should be a problem. Even the breach on one side that's more than 10 amas is considered breach and is an usur. So what's this case of talking about that it's breached necessarily on both sides? So we have two different opinions. Amarav Rav says, la'olam be'es, in truth it's talking about that it's only 10 amas. We continue on to Amud Beis. Then the question becomes, if it's only 10 amas, so why is it a problem on two sides? It's still a Pesach on both sides. So he says, not two sides, one opposite the other. So we're talking about that it was breached. It was really essentially one breach, but that took up two sides, which is talking about a case, Bekeren Zavis, that it's in a corner, which a corner has two sides. And now the reason why that's possible, although it's not more than Yud Ames, it should be considered Pesach, is the Pischa B'Keren Zovis Le'Avdi Inchi. People do not make an opening in a corner. And that is, since it's not the way, we cannot call it, quote unquote, a Pesach. It has to be called a breach, even though it's less than 10 Ames. It's not more than 10 Ames. And that is why it's going to be possible in such a case. When we say Mishtei Ruchaisav, it doesn't mean two opposite sides. It means one breach that takes up two sides, which is a corner. And because it's a corner, it cannot be considered a Pesach. And that's why it's going to be possible. Then the Gemara continues with the next case of the Mishnah. Similarly, a house that's breached on two sides. So the Gemara asks a similar question. What's the difference? That we, if a house would be breached on one side, that it would be kosher. Now, why would that be true? Because damrina pitikur yerbi system. Because we say the halachic principle of that the mouth of the roof, which is that the thickness of the roof on the edge, is, so to speak, the beginning of a wall. We say that we view that as if it's coming down, some type of halachic virtual wall, as if it's coming down and closing off that side. So then, mishtei ruches nami lema pitikur yerid b'seisim. So then, similarly, we should say the same halachic concept on both sides, that pitikur should be yerid b'seisim. And that is, as Rashi explains, and now we still think that it's talking about, this was before we had this answer, that we think it's on two different sides. So if it's on two different sides, you should say pitikur yerid b'seisim, and pitikur yerid b'seisim, even if it's breached on two sides. What's the difference between one or two? That, amri debei rav, mishmei rav, kagun shenifritz b'keren zavis, similar type of b'teretz, as if we're talking about a case similar to the case of Chatzah, where it's breached in the corner. Now, although we said that it's talking about that it's only 10 Amis, but as we said before, it can't have a halachic principle of Pesach, which is normally what it applies when there's only 10 Amis, because we don't make a Pesach in the corner. But then you still have a different halachic resolution regarding the principle of Pitikra, which is that the opening of the roof's mouth, so to speak, that should be the beginning of the wall. That itself should permit it, notwithstanding the halacha of Pesach. You can't do a Pesach in the corner, but you should still say Pitikur Yerid B'Seisim. And these two corners, you should see it as if it's coming down. However, we're talking about B'Kiruya B'Alachsan. We're talking about where the roof is slanty. In other words, like Rashi says in his times, as that's how the roofs were, versus in the times of the Gemara, generally they were flat roofs. So what's the difference that it's slanty? When it's slanty, you don't see anymore a beginning of a wall, because since it's on the slant, were it to be flat, so then the edge of it has a thickness, it's like the beginning of a wall. But when it's on the slant, you don't view that edge as if it, because it's not anymore perpendicular, it's not anymore parallel going down as a wall, and therefore you can't see Pitikra, so you're stuck, you don't have any more Pesach, because although it's not more than 10 Amos, but it's on the corner, and you also don't have the approach of Pitikra Yerbisayim, that the roof itself should be considered the beginning of the walls, because it's on a slant. That's one approach in explaining the case of bias. Shmuel Amar Shmuel says, going back on the case of Chatzar, he responds that Afilah b'yes me'aser. You could even be saying that the case is talking about when the Chatzar is breached on both sides, so it's just Ram, it's so much that the breach is more than 10 Amos. To which the question is, Ihachi miruach achas nami. So then, why did we say that it's breached to Rosh Hashanah on both sides? Even if it's breached on one side, it should be a problem, because more than 10 Amos is already considered fully breached, and it should be Aser even with one breach. On that, the answer is that you're right. That in truth, that the case of the Chatzar would be problematic being breached through Rosh Hashanah even on one side, because it is more than 10 Amos. However, the reason why we spoke about a case of Beis Ruches, two sides, was Mishum Bayis to be equal with the case of Bayis, the second case, where there it's not possible to say that it's going to be possible just if it was breached on one side, based on the principle of Pitikur Yerid B'Seisim. Because there, even if it's breached more than 10 Amos, although anything breached more than 10 Amos, you can't say that it's a Pesach, it's a Pirtza. However, if it's only on one side by the house, so then you say Pitikur Yerid B'Seisim, no matter how long it is, just the roof itself is the beginning of a wall. But then the Gemara asks, if that's the case, Ubayis Gufi Tikshus, then ask by the house of itself. Maishna Maruach Achas, Demrina Pitikur Yerid B'Seisim. What is the difference? Where on one side you're saying that the case of bias has to be on two sides of the breach, because if it was on one side, then you would say Pitikur Yerid B'Seisim. So mi beis ruches nami nemi Pitikur Yerid B'Seisim. So now on the two sides, you should also say the halachic principle of Pitikur Yerid B'Seisim. In other words, you're saying that the case of Chatzar really didn't need to be breached on both sides to be aser, to be possible, because it's more than 10 amos. Why do we say two sides? Because it's a case of bias. Now, how is the understanding of bias? Why is bias two sides? Well, one side is not because Pitikur Yerid B'Seisim. So then on the two sides, you should also say Pitikur Yerid B'Seisim. But then the Gemara says, so even more so, something is problematic over here. Me isli l'shmul pitikur yerid b'seisim. Does Shmuel even agree to the halachic principle of saying that the mouth of the roof is as if it's coming down and closing off that side as a wall? And that is because we're establishing now the case of the Mishnah that, as Shmuel himself said, that it's Tomah that the breach is more than 10 amos. That's why it's not a Pesach. Yet, in spite of that, he says that the house is not going to be usser if it's breached only on one side. Now, why would that be? Why did he say that chatzah needs two sides because bias needs two sides? Because on one side, obviously, you're going to say, p'tikah yared v'saisim. But we find elsewhere that Shmuel doesn't agree to the halachic principle of p'tikah yared v'saisim. V'yitma, but we had learned the machlekes. Achsadja b'bikah, regarding a pavilion in the open field. Now, a pavilion is basically like a type of a tent which has like four sticks, four poles, and without any walls, and it has just a roof on the top, which is in the open area. Rav Amar Mutal Talta B'Kula. Rav says, you're allowed to carry throughout the entire pavilion in that whole Achsadra. Ushmul Amar Ima Talton Ba Ila B'Dalat Amas. Shmuel says, you're only allowed to carry within four Amas, because it's considered like a Karmelis, and it's not considered as if it's Pitik or Yer V'Saisim, as if the walls, the roofs are coming down and closing the area. So therefore, you see, he does not agree to Pitik or Yer V'Saisim. So how does this whole explanation even start? So first, the Gemara addresses that last question. Halei kasha, that's not a difficulty. It's not true. Shmuel does agree to the principle of p'tikah yared v'saisim. Ki lesli, when does he not agree to it, which in that case, as we find by Chsadra v'bikah, that's bedalad. That's where you need to have to be creating, through the enclosure of p'tikah yared v'saisim, for example, in the case of Chsadra, four walls, to create four walls, that he doesn't agree to. Av b'shalish, but for three walls, and that is if, let's say, you had at least one halachic wall, and you need just p'tikah for three other walls, then islay, then he would agree to say that you do say p'tikah yared v'saisim. Which therefore, since our cases are not requiring four p'tikah yared v'saisim, one or two, therefore Shmuel definitely does agree to that concept. But then the Gemara says, okay, the last question is not difficult, but mikam makom kasha, however, we're still stuck with the first question, and that is, by two sides, why doesn't he agree to say p'tikah yared v'saisim? And that is, as we just said, he agrees with two or three, just four that he doesn't. So therefore, why are you saying that bias is the one that makes us say two sides, and that's why we say bechatzer, but why would bias be a problem with two sides? If one side is not a problem because you say p'tikah, so the two sides you should also say p'tikah. Now, Shmuel couldn't answer the way Rav answered, that the reason why you can't say p'tikah is because we're talking about that the roof is on the slant, because then, even on one side, it should be aser, and the reason is because, since he says differently than Rav, that he says that the breach is more than 10 amos, so therefore, since it's more than 10 amos, it would be a problem even on one side, because then you don't have Pesach, and you don't have p'tikah. So then why would we say it only on two sides? Rav has to say on two sides, because if on one side, you would at least have the Pesach, and as we explained in the Torah. So therefore, he couldn't say like Rav. So the question is, we're stuck with the question about why don't you say p'tikah on both sides? And that the Gemara says, he answers first by quoting by way of how Rav had answered, and he says, similar to what Rav has to stipulate in the case conceptualization, I say something similar to that, and that is, k'da amri bei Rav mishmei de Rav, just like the yeshiva of Rav said in the name of Rav, k'gon shenifritz bekeren zaviz, that we're talking about the breach is on the corner, and that is when it says shtei ruchais, doesn't really mean two opposite sides, it means one breach, that's two, which is in the corner. Now, v'kiruyav, and the roof, we also, although the Mishnah doesn't talk about it, but according to every answer that the Gemara gives, whether Shmuel says according to me or whether according to Rav, you have to answer and explain the case that it's not like regular roofs, rather just like Rav says ba'alachsan, that it has to be slanty, and that's why he answers for, Rav himself answers, but that's why now that you can't say Pesach, because in the corner, you don't make a Pesach in the corner, and you can't say p'tikra, because it's on the slant, and that is what Shmuel is saying, that for me also, Hachanam here also, when it's regarding these two sides, k'goin shenifratz b'keren zavas. We're talking about, for example, just like Rav said it's in the corner, I'm also saying it's talking about that it was one breach that was in the corner. The kiruyav and the roof, what we're talking about over here is that we're saying that the wall was breached. But when the wall got breached, it took away some of the roof too. In other words, part of it crumbled and it took down some of the roof with it also on the east and on the north. Five amis on the width be'arba of four tefachim. And then on the other side, it was also five amis and a little bit more on the width of four tefachim. So therefore, as Rashi and many Gemaras have the picture over there, he describes that ultimately this case is going to be talking about, according to Shmuel, that you're going to have four piyos, in other words, four edges, four p'tikras to require the yard v'saisim to view it as if it's closed. And that is you have the five amis towards the west, and that's going to be the first picture of the, if you have the picture of the hay, which is showing, that's the on the eastern side. Then you have the five and a little bit more on the north. That's the one that shows the Heva'id, which is going towards the north. So those are two enclosures you have to make, which are the regular ones, which we would normally say that you have to be closing off because it's on the corner. However, these closures are a little bit drawn in to within the area of the house, further away from the original walls that were there, four tefachim on one side, and four tefachim on the other side. So therefore, there's going to require another two enclosures of the pi tikra, of the four tefachim that's by the edge of the roof on the eastern side towards the south, again, by the Sfas HaMizrahi, by the eastern side, which it says by the Kisl Mizrahi, where it's by that dalad that it has towards the top, there has to be closed off. And so too, the four by the edge of the breach by the north, which is the one where it says the dalad that's north, near the words Kisl Tzathaini, where there that's also going to have to be closed off. And therefore, since, as we just explained in the Gemara, that Shmuel does not hold Pitikur Yard Vesayism on four sides, that is why Shmuel is saying that this is going to be a case which is not going to be kosher, because since it's breached on two sides, it doesn't really mean two sides. It means on a corner. Now, this corner, so why don't you say Pitikur Yared B'Saisim? I thought we say Pitikur Yared B'Saisim, even according to Shmuel, up till three sides. Because when it got breached, it's not just these two sides that are being breached. Part of the roof came off with it also. And the way it's being viewed is that it comes in, goes out, comes in, goes out. There's ultimately going to be four creations of walls from the roof coming down that's going to be necessary. And since Shmuel does not hold that you say four pitikur yared b'saisim, as we find that he argues by chsadja b'bika, that is why according to Shmuel, it's not going to work. And according to Rav, it's because you can't say pitikur because it's on a lachsan, it's on a diagonal. Shmuel can't say that because he says it even by more than 10 amis, and then there would be a problem even by one side. And Shmuel says it's talking about the problem is because it's not going to be just two pitikur yared b'saisim. Is ultimately going to be a case, since part of the roof is also caved in, that you're going to require four pitikur yared b'saisim, which he does not say. So now the Gemara concludes and says that why each one didn't say like each other. So Shmuel amar Rav, Shmuel didn't say like Rav, because in the whole case conceptualization, because alachsin loketani, we didn't say anything in the Mishnah about the fact that it's on the slant, and that is Shmuel didn't say like Rav, that it's only, in other words, we explained why in his case that he says it's more than 10, that he couldn't say like Rav. But why didn't he just say that it's like Rav, that it's only 10 amos, and we're talking about a complete roof? The reason why is because the case that was said in our Mishnah was bayis, that's the word that he used, a house that's breached. Now, every house, generally, as it was in the times of the Gemara, they were flat roofs and weren't slanty. And therefore, since he doesn't want to just add in this case that is talking about a slant, so therefore, though you're right, it's not going to be a Pesach, as Rav had explained, because there is no openings on corners, it's not where people make doorways. However, since we have to say it's a flat roof, you will still be closing it from Pitikra on two sides. That's why and Rav answers that by saying it was on a slant, the roof. But he doesn't want to say that because it says bias, and the regular bias in times of the Gemara were not slanty, but flat roofs. However, Shmuel's own interpretation regarding saying that something which also wasn't mentioned, which is that part of the roof is also broken, which then created this need for these four pitikur yared b'saisims, that's not a problem because it's said in the case of the Mishnah, bayish and nifrat, the house that's breached, which is the house and the roof with it that was breached, and that it was on this that it said, b'shtei ruchas, on two sides, as we explained, it was in the corner, which was because if it was on one side, then even if the roof together which was breached up till four tefachim on the width of this whole pirtza, even on the length that's more than 10 amos, he couldn't say that case either because that ultimately would only be three pitikras, one long one and two short ones. And by three, he would say yared b'saisim. That's why he had to say this case of shtei ruchas. Why couldn't he say one ruach? And then it's going to be breached with the roof also because that's only going to be three, like a ches. But however, this case of shtei ruchas, which he's saying is a corner, that's the way he created this type of a case, which is going to be the zigzag that's going to be four pitikur yared b'saisim, and that's why that's a problem. So that's why Shmuel doesn't say like Rav. Again, because basically, it doesn't say alachsin, and it's not regular to say that the roof was slanty when they're always generally flat roofs. Rav lo emka Shmuel, and Rav didn't say like Shmuel, and that is because to say like Shmuel, because if that's the case, so then that the roof was breached with it, and then you have four pious that you have to say, and even so, Rav will say, you're right. Your case of having it breached the way you described it, of requiring four particular adversisms, imkin havale achsadra. So then that's ultimately like the case of the achsadra of the pavilion, which is also breached on four sides. And Rav Latame, the machsadra mutl tadabakula, where he says that under this pavilion you're allowed to carry, and that is because he does say particular adversism, even on four sides. So that's why he couldn't say that was the case of the bais being breached. And requiring four pitikur yared b'saisim, because that he would hold would be kosher. Tidma, like we learned, Achsadra Bebikr, regarding this pavilion in the open field, Rav Amar Mutal Tatl B'Kul. Rav says you're allowed to carry throughout the entire pavilion because we view it as if it's closed in, although there's no walls. We view the roof as the beginning of walls coming down. Ushmol Amar Ima Tatl B'Kul Arba Amas. And Shmuel says one is only allowed to carry within four Amas, but not more than that, even under the pavilion. And the Gemara explains, Rav Amar Mutal Tatl B'Kul. Rav says one's allowed to carry throughout the entire area because I mean in particular Yadrasayisim, as we have explained, you say that the opening of the roof, that beginning, is coming down and closing off the area. He says, no, one is not allowed to carry more than Dalet Amos like a Carmelist, because we do not say, as we explained before, on four sides, that you should see that it's Yared B'Saisim on all four sides. However, the Gemara qualifies this Machlekes with two different versions. First version says that Be'eser, when the sides of the Achsadra, the length and the width of the Achsadra, of this pavilion, were only 10 Amos, nobody disagrees that even without P'tik or Yerid V'Saisim, which Shmuel does not allow on four sides, but still it's still considered a Pesach, it's an opening because you have these poles and between them is not more than 10 Amos, nobody would argue that that would be kosher to carry throughout the entire Achsadra. When is there Machlekes? When there's more than 10 Amos, where then according to Rav you have P'tik or Yerid V'Saisim, Shmuel says you don't, and therefore since it's more than 10 Amos, it's not a Pesach, so Shmuel would say only Dalet Amos, and Rav would say throughout the entire area. But the Igadami, that those that say a different version, is that B'yeser, more than 10 Amos, Kulam Alepligi, no one argues that you're not going to say P'tik or Yerid B'Saisim on four sides, even according to Rav. Kipligi B'eser, when do they argue? When it's 10 Amos, we're there, Rav is going to say that you carry throughout the whole entire area, and even in that case, Shmuel would say that one cannot carry more than Dalet Amos. So based on these two different versions, the Gemara says it's going to come out differently regarding these two other Amaroic statements. And that is of Hodam, Rabbi Huda, this, that Rabbi Huda says, I'm going to continue on top of Tzadihem at Alf, that Kairid Dalad Mata Bechurva, that a crossbeam, a beam that's four tzfachim, is going to be permit someone to carry underneath it in a churva, in a ruin, and that is if there's a ruin that's totally breached to the Rishus HaRam, a building that had collapsed that's totally open to Rishus HaRam, where you're not allowed to carry there anymore because it's breached into the Rishus HaRam, but there's still a standing pole which is on top of two different poles. It's permitted to carry actually right underneath that crossbeam. And that's because the four piyos, the four edges of that pole, we view them as if it's coming down, as if you have a rectangle log that's up on top by the two edges and the two sides, that we view them as if they're coming down. So you're underneath that area. Underneath that is like you're closed within four walls. You could carry underneath the kaira. So regarding that halacha, and similarly, Rav Nachman Amar Rav Bar Avua, that he says, kaira dal mata b'mayim, that again, a similar type of case where a crossbeam that's four tefachim wide, and that underneath that it permits underneath it to carry in the water, because we view it as if it's closing off that area, mani, who are they like, regarding this machlekes of Rabbi Shmuel that we just mentioned? So it depends. L'hach lishna da'amid be'esor le'pli, according to the version that we said, that when it's 10, that then it's not more than 10 amos, that no one argues that we will say that it's going to be kosher under that area. So then be'esor, but then it's told me that it's 10 amos, and everybody would agree that to these two halachas of these amiram, because even Shmuel would agree that he only says it's not kosher, the achsadra, when it's more than esor amos. But if it's within esor amos, then he would agree that it's kosher under that area. L'hach lishna da'amrit be'esor pligi, but according to the other version that says, no, that they only argue by 10, but that even by more than 10, that Rav would say that it's a problem, and that Shmuel would not say it's kosher even within 10, then it must be told that these two Amaram are like Rav, are Karav, that he says that even on all four sides, we would still say P'tik or Yerid V'Saisim, and that's why, although it's within 10, however, that would only be like Rav, not like Shmuel, because in that version, Shmuel says it wouldn't work even within 10.